Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In today's episode, I want to cover a topic which often is quite popular in my podcast and on social media, which is the topic of post-exertional malaise. I'm sure if you've been listening to this podcast or following me online for a while, you already know that post-exertional malaise was one of the things that I really, really struggled with in my journey due to my love of exercise. And I know I work with a lot of clients who also have the similar passion for exercise. Movement and exercise is often the way that we have in the past regulated our nervous systems, managed stress, and also how we've socialized. And it can be a really big part of our lives. And then if you experience something like chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID or post-viral fatigue, or you have some sort of autoimmune condition which has an energy limiting component to it, it can be really, really devastating to let go of exercise. And in some cases, we do have to let go of exercise completely. But in other cases, it's about changing our relationship with exercise, understanding post-exertional malaise, what's causing it, how we manage it, so that we can gradually start to build up our exercise capacity again. So that is kind of what I want to touch on in this particular podcast. I want to talk about this topic of post-exertional malaise, but specifically, I want to talk about this idea that not all post-exertional malaise is the same. And previously on the podcast, I've often referred to post-exertional malaise as a blanket term. So post-exertional malaise can be the worsening of symptoms that we experience after physical, cognitive, or emotional challenge or overload. And this could be immediate, or it could be delayed even 24, 48, or 72 hours after exertion. Now, traditionally, I've just done exactly what I've done here. I've sort of just put it in one particular blanket. But actually, there are three different types of post-exertional malaise. Sometimes we can have one, sometimes we can have the other, sometimes we can have a blend of two or three of the different types. But if you are somebody who is experiencing post-exertional malaise, it can be really helpful to identify what type you are experiencing or what types you are experiencing, because this really gives us insight into how we manage ourselves and how we support ourselves, and most importantly, how we grow our capacity over time. So in this particular episode, what I want to cover is what are these three different types of post-exertional malaise? How do we define them? What are the mechanisms that are involved so that you can understand the physiology of your experience? And then the thing that we all want to know is what do we do? What do we do to support these particular types of post-exertional malaise, however we may be experiencing them? And then hopefully move forward and build some capacity in our healing journey. So as always, if you haven't already, I would love it if you could leave a review for the podcast. You can leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or iTunes. I always love to see the reviews increase. I love to read some of the words that people write on iTunes. And so if you would like to do that now, that would be very much appreciated. Or you can also just share this episode or the podcast in general with your energy limiting condition healing community, whatever you may call it, your healing community. Maybe it will help someone in their journey, and you've kind of done a good thing to pay it forward by sharing this information. So just before we go into the episode, you might hear in the sound of my voice, maybe I sound a little bit nasally today. I have had a cold all week, but I did feel ready to record this today. I felt excited, shall I say, to record this today. So even though my voice is a little bit off, I am generally doing well and I'm happy to be here with you. But please apologize. I might need to pause at times and maybe have a little cough. And I'm also expecting a delivery. So I hope the postman is not going to interrupt this recording as well. But let's talk about the three different types of post-exertional malaise. So the first type is the autonomic crash. This is often referred to as perhaps hitting the wall. It is maybe when somebody is doing some movement, say you are building up your walking, you go for a little walk, and then all of a sudden you become very tired, you become very overwhelmed, you may need to lie down, or this happens straight after the exercise. So this autonomic dysregulation is either something that's limiting you going further, or you stop the exercise and then you have this autonomic crash that happens almost immediately after that little piece of exercise. And so this is when this pattern is often related to a dysregulation in our nervous system. And this is where you may have heard me talk about on the podcast previously, this idea of overcoupling or coupling dynamics, where the nervous system, there's a fear response, which is coupled with exercise, and then we get this heightened sympathetic response. So there can be an overcoupling dynamic here, but it's also worth mentioning that some people don't necessarily have that overcoupling, but they may just be more prone to autonomic dysregulation. They may have a POTS diagnosis or something similar. This isn't necessarily about an inability to produce energy. It's more of an instability in regulation. The body is not able to regulate heart rate. The body is not able to regulate blood pressure. The body is not able to regulate blood flow and circulation. And this causes a dip or a drop in capacity, which is almost immediate and usually very, very strongly felt. And so in this situation, what we usually find is when we give the body what it needs, we maybe go horizontal, we put legs up the wall, we get blood to the brain, we slow heart rate down, all of these different things, we can usually feel quite better quite quickly. However, I would say here, just as a caveat, is if there is some coupling, overcoupling with fear and exercise, the return to baseline might not be immediate in the same way that if it was purely physiological. So it's important to understand that this type of crash is regulatory in nature for the most part. Of course, there's always blurry lines and nuance. It doesn't necessarily mean that by exercising, you're experiencing any structural damage or there's any long-term harm that's occurring, but it does reflect a system that is unstable and requires stability. And as you know, the concept of stability is my favorite concept, the concept that all my sort of work philosophy is based on. So that is PEM pattern one. The next PEM pattern is the PEM pattern two. And this is the tired but wired post-exertional malaise. So often in this case, the individual can exercise. This was definitely the experience for me in my own journey. I didn't really get any of these autonomic crashes per se. When I did go to do a walk or did try a little bit of yoga, Pilates, or try to do some very basic resistance training, there was strength in my body. There was capacity in my body. But then after the fact, I would start to have some sort of impact on my system physiologically. So what usually happens is the person can cope for the most part with the exercise. They might even feel good or energized or uplifted immediately afterwards, like when we get those post-exertional endorphins. But then something happens later. It could be an hour or two later, it could be 3 or 4 hours later, but there can be, for example, more of a heightened state of the nervous system. The nervous system feels more stimulated. There might be more brain fog. That was always one of the things that I used to get. There might be like, you might feel ravenous. You might feel like overly hungry, like you really can't like satisfy your hunger. And you might find that later that day, you feel very overstimulated or your sleep may be disrupted at night. And so what's happening in this particular situation? Well, what's usually happening is that as we move into our anaerobic system, so as our exercise intensity increases, we no longer burn fat as a fuel, but we burn sugar as a fuel. We use our glycolytic energy system. And when we enter into the glycolytic energy system, we start to produce lactate. Now, in a healthy system, your body can go into glycolysis, it can produce lactic acid, it can clear lactic acid. It has enough buffering for the buildup of lactic acid in the system. We also might be experiencing an increase in adrenaline, an increase in cortisol due to the exercise intensity, all of which a healthy system can handle. But when a system is a little bit dysregulated, it struggles to come down again after the exercise. And there can be this hangover of sympathetic activation that the body cannot regulate and stabilize after the exercise bout. This can leave us with this tired but wired feeling. And then maybe the next day, the day after the exercise, you might feel more tired than the day before because maybe some of that wired energy has worn off, although it could potentially stick around a little bit longer. But you might find that you're a lot more wiped out the next day from the sustained sympathetic tone induced by the exercise on the previous day. So, this pattern doesn't mean that you're unfit. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not strong enough to exercise, but it suggests that the intensity of that exercise is not matching your current capacity. In very simple terms, it's too much. It's too much for your body right now. And therefore, what we need to do is we need to find that balance where we are scaling back the exercise intensity to match where we are. Now, like in the beginning stages of recovery, even a walk could be too much intensity. But then as you're maybe walking more and building up your overall cardiovascular baseline, you may actually find that now when you start to do something that gets your heart rate up a little bit more, or you maybe start to do some resistance training, even if it's very gentle, your body isn't used to that. And therefore, the intensity is too high. It doesn't match your capacity. And then your body goes into this metabolic dysregulation and this increased stress tone. So it's really kind of sometimes a combination here. One and two are very similar, except that when we look at one, which is this autonomic crash, it's sudden, it's immediate, it's dramatic, whereas two is still also related to the stress signaling system, but it's a little bit more delayed and longer term. It's like the system turned on and then it's struggling to downregulate and switch off again. So then we come to the third pattern. I think the third pattern is probably going to be the one that a lot of people are familiar with. And this is the delayed 24 to 48 hour post-exertional crash. The third pattern is what we traditionally see in a lot of people with chronic fatigue, post-viral syndromes, energy-limiting conditions. Symptoms may not always appear immediately. Sometimes they will. Often there's a blend of two and three. And so you might actually feel relatively stable. And then 24 hours later or 48 hours later, you have experienced a noticeable worsening of your symptoms. This is what a lot of people do refer to as PEM. So this may include heavy limbs. You may have more brain fog. You may have a sore throat. You may have flu-like symptoms and just a broader sense of overall shutdown in the body. And this delayed pattern is actually a pattern I referred to recently in one of the previous podcasts where I discussed a research paper on post-exertional malaise, which specifically looked at the immune and inflammatory signaling that happens around exercise. Now, that was quite a heavy going podcast from a technical standpoint. I want to keep this one a little bit lighter. So I'm not going to go into all the details of the immune signaling, but if you want to maybe understand some of that immune signaling physiology, then that's something that you could go and listen to if you haven't listened to that one already. I'll link it in the show notes. I can't remember which one it was currently as I'm recording this. I should have probably looked that up before I started recording. But anyway, this delayed pattern is much more what you want to take away from it all is it is an immune issue or an inflammatory issue. And physical, cognitive, emotional stress can influence the cytokines or the immune activity in people who are susceptible. And these pathways can take time to build, which is why we don't necessarily notice the post-exertional malaise straight away. They can build over a time, and then maybe several things happen, and then they escalate to a level where we may experience a crash or just some mild discomfort. So for people in this category, if you are repeatedly doing too much, you are repeatedly switching on this immune signaling, which keeps your body in this perpetual state of inflammation. And so this is where pacing really matters. Being able to find your physiological baseline and stay within your energy envelope so you're not constantly bumping up against those inflammatory triggers all the time and exacerbating the inflammatory state in your body. The other thing we also want to do is think about what physiological inflammatory signals we can control. So that might be food, it might be environmental toxins or mold, mycotoxins. It could also be infections in the body, which are keeping the body in this perpetuated state of inflammation. And then that's just kind of like lowering the buffering on your physical capacity, which then makes it easier and easier to fall into these cycles of delayed onset 24 to 48 hours post-exertional malaise. So we've been through the three types. Just to recap, PM type 1 is that autonomic crash, that immediate sudden change. PM type 2 is more of a metabolic crash, or that wired but exhausted pattern, which is where the system cannot return to baseline or down regulate after the stress of the exercise. It's more related to a mismatch between intensity and capacity. And then the third type is this delayed 24 to 48 hour crash, which is more immune and inflammatory driven. And if you want to understand a little bit more about that, you can listen to that previous episode that I mentioned. So why does it matter? Why do we need to know this? When someone says, I get PEM, it's important to explore what exactly they mean by that. Is it immediate and circulatory? Is it metabolic and stress-driven, or is it delayed and inflammatory? And here we have to hold space for the fact it could be two of those three, it could be all of those three as well. These complex energy cases are often nuanced, and sometimes they need a little bit of picking apart. But if we can identify what's going on here, then we can take the appropriate interventions to help and support the body to find more stability, first of all, and then secondly, grow capacity over time. So what I'd like to do now is summarize what do we actually do. And obviously, I'll talk through each of these things in isolation of one another, because it's hard to talk about the overlap, but I might give a few little examples to also explain how we would maybe identify if there was some overlapping physiology happening here. So the first pattern, the immediate autonomic crash, this is often driven by circulatory instability, very, very rapid spikes in the sympathetic nervous system. So very, very unstable autonomic nervous system, and difficulty regulating in upright load. So for example, people who experience POTS may struggle to exercise seated or standing. They may need to exercise lying down because they can't regulate blood pressure, blood flow, circulation in a more upright position. It puts more strain on their system, but it can be something that's trained. And so it's really important for any immediate autonomic crashes, the nervous system needs stabilizing, and we also need to stabilize blood flow support. And what this looks like more specifically is, as I said already, maybe the individuals need to start off exercising in a horizontal position, then progress to seated, then progress to standing. But also physiologically, we need electrolytes, we need hydration, we need to use compression garments to support blood flow back to the heart. We maybe need to use a heart rate monitor and keep an eye on heart rate and make sure we stay within a specific heart rate zone. And in doing so, gradually build up our tolerance for upright work. Then linked here is also just that overcoupling with fear and exercise, because that can also cause sudden immediate changes in our response to exercise, but not always. And here's, you can do somatic work like those that we teach in the Nurturing Resilience membership to uncouple the fear from the exercise. And that's a process that you can learn to do. So the next one is the metabolic glycolytic threshold crash. So this is when we start to exceed our anaerobic threshold. We get lactate accumulating in the system. That can cause prolonged stress and we get hormonal activation. And so here it's really about reducing the intensity of the exercise and then improving our overall ability to recover after exercise. So how do we get the system to down-regulate and recover after a bout of exertion? So in terms of how we support the exercise intensity, it might be longer rest intervals. So that's very relevant. For example, if you're doing some resistance training, you rest between sets, you can make those rests longer. But if you're having this type of PEM after some cardiovascular work, like walking, for example, it might mean you have to break your walks up into little chunks. So you walk for a bit, you rest for a bit, you walk for a bit, you rest for a bit. So you're doing some intervals so that your body can stabilize between sets of cardiovascular exertion to give a little bit of time for lactate and things like that to clear and a little bit of down regulation. We obviously need to make sure the body is appropriately fueled before and after exercise. That really comes down to, I think, your day-to-day diet, making sure blood sugar is balanced, you're eating enough food generally across the day, and you're not prone to hypoglycemic events. And then sometimes we need to build a gradual aerobic base. So what that might mean is for somebody who wants to resistance train, they might need to be able to manage a certain amount of walking, which is cardiovascular exercise, before they could start some resistance training. And then finally, we get to this delayed immune inflammatory crash. So this is where we get an increase in immune signaling. We get cytokine amplification. We get an increase in oxidative stress. We get an increase in inflammation in the body. This happens when we're constantly pushing the edges of what the body can handle. And this is where pacing matters, not necessarily just across one day, but across several days. If a main trigger is this build-up of exertion, then causing the post-exertional malaise. And we also need to generally support the immune signaling in the body. And that means we need to reduce things that are more pro-inflammatory for us. That could be diet, that could be exposure to toxins, that could be ongoing infections in the body that are potentially having an impact here. And so here it can be helpful to track delayed symptoms, to make sure you're spacing out exertion, not just pacing during the day, but across the week, really avoiding the boom and bust cycles. We need to find what is sustainable for the body. We need to find stability first before we can expand our capacity. And we need to titrate very carefully. If we start doing more, we need to do more in very, very small amounts. So those are the three different types of PEM, the signaling or what drives them, what we need to support and focus on, and some practical things you can do. So it's really important here, I guess, to understand, as I said already, is that there can be an overlap between these different types of post-exertional malaise. And sometimes supporting one may then have a knock-on effect to support the other. I mentioned already that in my own journey that I had and this experience of post-exertional malaise, it would typically start perhaps 4 hours after exercise, but then there would also be this delayed immune signaling pattern. So if I would exercise and then get that 4 hour later post-exertional malaise, that would have probably been much more the flavor of this metabolic glycolytic threshold crash. And then the sort of more delayed signaling would be that delayed immune inflammatory crash. And so here I'd like to just give this example of how the two feed into each other. And I would like to share something that's actually happened to me recently. So I've been working on my health now for several years. I built my capacity up to a really good level. I work full time. The business that I've run is very demanding in so many ways, mentally and emotionally, not necessarily physically, but definitely very mentally and emotionally demanding. And then I put a lot of physical demands on myself because I love exercise. And I want to swim and I want to go in the cold ocean and I want to lift weights and I want to walk 10 to 20,000 steps a day. And I just want to do all the things. And recently I got back from a holiday in South Africa. So I was away for 3 weeks, had a lovely time. I was training while I was out there. I did some 3 kilometer swims. I did some hiking. I was doing like a little 30 minute like HIIT interval style weight training in the garden, and it was all good. Obviously, I was on holiday. I didn't really like have a lot of stress. It was very, very low stress holiday. There's sunshine, there's good food, just, you know, really great environment. And then in that situation, I had great resilience and great capacity. And then I came back to the UK. It is cold, it is dark, there's no sunlight. I'm now swimming in water that's 6 degrees and running my business, have all the stress of that and just life admin, you know, car that needed repairs and spilled tea on my laptop and had to get a new laptop and all sorts of things, you know, life things that you have to deal with when you're not on holiday. So increased stress. Increased hormetic stress from the cold water exposure. And then also, I've had some niggling digestive issues, which have been ongoing for me for a long time. They tend to sort of wax and wane. But last year, my stepdad passed away and then my mom was here across the summer months and I was putting a huge amount of time and energy into supporting her emotionally. And when she left, it was like my digestion was like, right, you've just been getting through this time and now we're going to kick off. So it was almost like a delayed stress response from that summer and being so invested in the emotional support of my mother. And my digestion got really bad and I kind of, you know, I know because I've had these issues in the past, I sort of knew what I needed to do. So I took the necessary actions and felt a little bit better, but it wasn't great. And then I was on holiday. So when I came back from holiday, I thought, right, it's New Year. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a stool test. But apart from that, it didn't really change anything else I was doing. I was still trying to do the 30-minute circuits. And I was swimming in a pool here, but I was building myself up to swimming 5 kilometers. And I was sort of doing, you know, 3 or 4 kilometers in a go any one time I went swimming. And then on my days off, which weren't really days off in hindsight, I was swimming in the sea, which is 6 degrees and it's, you know, super cold. I wasn't going too far, but I was definitely stressing my body out by getting it very, very cold. So it was a lot. And something that I noticed was all of a sudden that I wasn't tolerating my resistance workouts like I had been in the past. The swimming seemed to be fine because it was a low for me. The swimming, even though I go for a long time, like some of my swims were like an hour and a half long, it's very low intensity, very rhythmic. So it's kind of just like, it's not as low intensity as walking, but it's similar in the sense it's very kind of more gentle exercise. And so that wasn't too much of a problem. But then I was noticing whenever I weight trained, it just felt like I wasn't recovering. And then the next day, I would feel quite wired and very hungry after the weight training. And then the next day, feel almost like very low and exhausted. So here we have this combination of a few different things. There's definitely like a buildup from doing the cold water, running my business, the long endurance swims, and then the resistance training, which metabolically I wasn't responding very well to. There was that buildup of more of that immune signaling. And then there was also the immediate sort of more metabolic signaling after the intense weight-based workout. So, and this is actually the inspiration for this podcast, was my own experience. There are these two different things happening, the immediate effect and then the delayed effect. And then I had the stool test. And I literally just got my stool test results this week. And very interestingly, they're so much better in many ways compared to the when I was very ill. I did a stool test and my digestion was awful. And the test results reflected that. And the results now are much better than what they were. But I had a very high inflammatory marker. If some of you are familiar with it, it's called calprotectin. Calprotectin is often significantly elevated in people with IBD, so Crohn's disease, colitis. My levels weren't as high that would, you know, cause me to want to go to the doctor and investigate that, but they were significantly high. So I've got this inflammation in my gut. And then on top of this, I've got this massive stress load. So we've got two things happening is that when my exercise intensity is moderate, if I'm just walking, if I'm swimming and keeping my heart rate in an aerobic zone, I'm fine. But as soon as I go into something which is more high intensity, I'm crossing that lactate threshold, or I'm just doing something very stressful like the cold swimming, I'm not fine. And so there's two things that I have to do now, and maybe I'll do another episode where I report back on this, is I have to sort out my digestion because the inflammation in the gut can spill over into systemic inflammation in the rest of the body. And then that post-exertional immune signaling amplifies. So to help that immune signaling down regulate, I have to manage the manageables, which is manage the balance of things that are going on in my gut so that I'm not getting as much post-exertional immune signaling. And I think I said at the beginning of this episode, I'm waiting for a delivery. The delivery that I'm waiting for is my gut support supplements. So I will be taking those now moving forward. And maybe we'll do a little update on the podcast in a few weeks or months time. And then the other thing, which is the thing that nobody ever wants to do, which is what I always have to negotiate with my clients, is do less. I had to, because I love the weight training so much, and especially because I do the functional patterns, and that's helped me so much with some of the physical sort of biochemical aches and pains in my body, so biomechanical aches and pains in my body. I don't want to give it up, and I don't have to give it up. But I was doing a 30-minute high-intensity circuit, five sets of five different exercises. That's a lot of volume. So I have to reduce the volume, not do as many exercises and as many sets of exercises, and really take good breaks between the sets, maybe 2 or 3 minutes between sets, so that I'm really, really allowing my body to settle in between sets to prevent that sort of metabolic dysregulation. So that is my little plan. There's no sort of autonomic crash in this situation. It's not something that I have experienced really myself, but it is something that I do see in clients, in which case, we would use some of the strategies discussed in this podcast. But I hope you have found this interesting listening. Maybe it's helped you reflect on your own post-exertional malaise, any crashes that you have been having, and possibly just given you insight into some ways that you can support yourself. So I will see you in the next episode, and I hope you have a wonderful fatigue recovery day.